Good morning. Let's sing the first song. Those of you who like to hold books, there's a few more in the back. It's number one. Today we will sing the first and last song of this new hymnal. Number one is called Summoned by the God Who Made Us, but we will all know the melody. Da-da-dum-dum, da-da-dum-dum. So, I was going to do verse 2, ladies, and verse 4, men, but then I don't know if we're going to be able to catch on to that. Want to try it? Okay, Lois is good with that. Okay, let's stand. Number one, the book. And then we'll switch to another one, a little bit down the road here, number 36. Let us build a house where love can dwell. And that one has five stanzas, and we'll do it exactly the way we did before. Actually, no, we'll do it differently. We'll do three ladies and four will be men, I'll tell you. Thank you. thank you very much. That was a workout.
Good morning. Welcome this morning to our time of worship. We are gathered today as the community of faith, coming together from a wide variety of settings, entering the sanctuary where we can meet God in a special way. We can bring our joys and troubles, thanksgivings and struggles, and offer them to God. May this service of worship be a time of refuge and protection, where we can feel safe and cared for by our God. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. And if you pray with me, please. Holy God, you call us together to reflect on your word and our life in your world. Be with us now as we sing and pray together, that we may hear your voice and understand your way. This we pray through Jesus the Christ. Amen.
So the next song we're going to sing, some of us will know it from, oh boy, before we remember. This one in German is Gott ist die Liebe, and it's number 158 in this book. And they have an English translation, so we're going to do mostly in English. But the first one we will sing in German, and it's a German melody. I think it's a German folk melody, actually. Turinger. I don't know, when you buy the sausage at co-op, do you say Turinger or Turinger? Turinger, yeah, well, that's... They maybe don't hear it, but they know what I'm pointing at, so... All right, this is a Turinger melody, and we're going to sing four times, first time in German. I don't know if we... Oh, you got it there? Okay, because Ike is doing a tricky job, so you have to remember, he's working at it with us. Thank you so much, Ike. All right, let's stand. came up here. Is there an accordion? I'm hoping. Actually, we talked about it yesterday at the Women in Mission picnic. And Alvin was like, he says, oh, yeah, I can do it. And the next song, he says, I've played that thing for, like, I don't know, years. The next one, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms. And it is number 160 in that book. All right, here we go.
Shirley was right behind me with that offering. Thank you for coming up so readily. I invite you all to pray together with me as we pray the offering blessing. Let's bow. Blessed are you, O God, maker of all things. Through your goodness, you've blessed us with good gifts, ourselves, our time, and our possessions. We receive these gifts in gratitude and offer them to the world with your love. Through the one who gave himself for us, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.
I was just thinking to myself, have they done something to this pulpit while I was gone? Did they put a platform underneath it? It's suddenly, I feel like a child at the adult table. And I realize I'm not wearing heels, which I usually do. I usually stand here, not here. So, welcome to short people's world. This is the time of opportunities, sharing, and prayer. And as we just blessed the offering, there is another opportunity for offering. Is it here in the bulletin? Oh, right there it is, right before my very eyes. At the bottom of the first page, you see it says school kits. And most of you will have noticed in the foyer when you came in that there was a big yellow something there that wasn't there before. And it is the thing that should attract you to look at that display. This is MCC School Kit Gathering. So we're not asking you to put pencils or rulers in there. It shows dollars and cents. And then there's an arrow into the school kit bag. We will pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for being love. You are love, as we just sang. Thank you for giving us your spirit that enlivens these words that we sing and that we hear, that makes us aware of your activity in our own lives and in the lives of the community around us. Thank you for your persistence in our lives, even when we get so distracted and so interested in all of these different things that we can do and places we can go. You're with us and calling us and longing for that close, intimate relationship to share these experiences together with you. Thank you for the community that you've put us in, the community of believers, and that we have the opportunity to share our joys together, as we have heard, as well as the sorrows and the struggles. Thank you for hearing the prayers that we have prayed over the past few weeks and months, for the many surgeries and appointments and situations that you have seen us through, and that you have companioned with us through those things. Not like magic, that a wand is waved and suddenly everything is okay, but that you walk alongside of us through the good times, the easy times, the happy times, as well as the difficult valley of the shadow of death times. And you encourage us. And we pray that you would encourage and guard and guide the church that is in Egypt as well, and this disaster that has happened. Pray for those who are caring for the suffering. Give them strength, give them wisdom and innovation to know how to care and protect and guard. Of course, we continue to pray for peace around the world. And we have probably many times even forgotten that there are so many people in refugee camps, so many places around the world. We pray that you would raise up people who would work for justice, that people who are in positions of power and authority in government or in churches or leadership of any kind, that they would be following your commands, that this world would truly exhibit your kingdom already come. We get tired of waiting for it. We sometimes become despondent that it's ever going to happen. And yet, when we gather on a Sunday morning, we are reminded that your kingdom is already here. Help us to participate in that kingdom. Help us to recognize it and find our stability, our foundation, and our joy in that kingdom, recognizing that the kingdom of this world is passing away. Give us all the wisdom to be able to differentiate, to know where to put our energies, our focus, our attention, and our hope. For all these things that we have already mentioned, we pray. For the things that have not been mentioned, we also pray. And with one united voice, we pray the way you invited your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Well, now we're going to sing another song, and it's 298, and it's probably going to... Oh, there it is. And each verse, except for the last one, I think, is a story from the Bible. So you might want to see, which one is this one about? So let's stand and sing, What is the World Like? Let's stand.
Morning.
Good morning.
Scripture readings this morning consist of three passages taken from the New Revised Standard Version translation. The first passage is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 22, verses 34 to 40. When the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. And one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. "Teacher, which commandment is in the law is the greatest?" He said to them, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Second passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7. "Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not envious or boastful or arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice in wrongdoing, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things." Third passage, from the book of James, chapter 1, verses 22 to 25. "But be doers of the word, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any are hearers of the word, and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves, and on going away, immediately forget what they were like. But those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing." Here end the readings. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you for that reading. Priming the pump. Today I want to prime the pump on a certain topic. You know, in the old days, pumps, you had to prime it. You add a little water to the top so that it would create a seal in there, and then you could pump out lots of water. Because if you didn't prime it, it was like not doing anything. So you got to put a little water in there, priming the pump. So that's what I want to do. My topic is living in God's love. And in short, I believe God loves me and God loves you. And this can affect in tangible ways how you and I live our lives. Living in God's love makes for a different living of our life. But how? How do you and I live differently because we are living in God's love? I want to suggest three ways and support my suggestions from stories from the Bible, but that's just priming the pump because there are so many stories in the Bible. Boy, we could go on for a long time. And then we'd all say, okay, I'm tired, I need a break. Which is, you know, that's Jesus took breaks too. The umbrella scriptures for my topic are from 1 John 3:1, where it says, "See what love the Father has given us, that we should be called children of God." And that is what we are, yay! And the second one, 1 John 4:19, "We love because he first loved us." So those are kind of the umbrellas under which all my other thoughts are kind of percolating. These texts remind us that we are children of God, that God loves each of us, and we love as a response because he first loved us. As a warm-up to get you thinking, how would you continue this sentence? Because God loves me, I can do what? Or be what? Because God loves me, I can do or what, be what. Or you might say it as a question, how might I act or be because God loves me? So let's pray. God, please bless us as we continue to listen for your voice this morning. Amen. So my first suggestion, because God loves me, I can be generous. Now, I can be generous from abundance, and I want to look at the Zacchaeus story, because he had lots, at least, of some things. Do we know that story still? Remember, Zacchaeus was a tax collector. He was despised by the Jewish leadership, and a lot of people, too, that were Jews, because he essentially was a collaborator. He was a collaborator with a military that came and conquered Palestine. So they didn't like him, and he got rich collecting taxes because he'd always take a little bit more for himself. And he wanted to see Jesus because Jesus had been going around, and so he was short, so he climbed a tree so he could see better. And when Jesus came along the road, Jesus saw him in the tree, called him down, and spent a good part of the day with him. Now, it's not really about, like, why didn't he spend time with other people? That's the story is about him spending time with Zacchaeus. This meeting with Jesus, though, changed his life, and as a result, Zacchaeus wanted to make amends for his past. He felt, I didn't do good. He decided on radical and reconciling change. And what did he do? He repented from the past fraud he had done to others. Maybe he told them, you owe me 100, whatever the Roman stuff was, and they only really owed 80, but that was his cut. So he repaid them 4 times. Okay, so he's getting poorer. And he gave his money, half of it, away to the poor. And we can guess, like, if he's doing this, it's like people are looking at him like, what are you doing? Mocking him or discriminating, or maybe even like he was now poorer and he didn't like that feeling. So we can be generous from abundance, like Zacchaeus. So here's a question. Might you and I be called to act like Zacchaeus because we encounter the love of God? Or we can be generous from scarcity, like the widow at the temple with a 2-coin offering. Do you remember that story? Jesus and the disciples were in the temple precinct, and it would be like there's an inside part of the temple, but there's like a courtyard, and stuff's happening over there, and there's stuff happening over there, and there's maybe some sacrifices, and people are maybe, I don't know, selling stuff over there. It's not all inside. So Jesus is watching, and like we don't usually watch people, like how much are they giving? Jesus is noticing that. I thought, I never really thought of that until like this week. I thought, he's watching them. So he sees some people giving lots, and then this widow comes, this poor widow. She comes along, she has very little, 2 copper coins, like not gold, just copper. And Jesus was amazed, and he says, disciples, come on over here. He told him that the widow had given more, he says, with her 2 coins than the others, because they gave out of their abundance, and the widow put in everything she had, all that she had to live on. So the widow is kind of different than Zacchaeus. She was already a worshiper. She's coming to worship. She's coming to the temple. She was living out her devotion, and Jesus judged the difference. So to me, it seems Jesus was judging the heart of the person, not the quantity of money. So we can be generous from scarcity. So here's a question then. Might you and I be called to sacrificial giving, giving everything we have to live on? And what might that even look like nowadays? Or question number 2, are we called to give what we have even if it doesn't look like much to others? Like that widow. Or kind of like Jesus when he was crucified. Think of how little and failed Jesus looked. For the Romans and those calling for his crucifixion, he was a small, pathetic little threat, you know. It was like nothing. But he gave everything. He gave everything he had, his life. And that's made all the difference. And for us too. We, as followers of Jesus, may be asked to live like that, to give all we have. Well, second suggestion, so we can be generous, or we can share what we know. Because God loves me, I can share what I know. We all know different stuff, first of all. Do we remember the story of Philip and the Ethiopian in Acts? Anybody remember? Elaine, you're a Sunday school teacher. Do your students know this? All righty. So there was Philip, and he got this angel's nudging. Now, when I was at seminary or wherever, they said angel doesn't have to be like just with wings. It's just a messenger. It's the word for messenger. It could be like a spiritual messenger. Like, off script here a little bit, like the time when I ran headlong into a pond when I was about 7 years old in Paraguay, and all of a sudden the floor of the creek or pond just dropped off, and I was way in over deep, and I started like drowning, and all of a sudden I couldn't see anything. All of a sudden there was this like that. I never saw this person. I don't know if it was with wings or not with wings, but it was definitely an angel, because I was going to be a goner. But anyway, that was off script. So where was I? Yeah, angels nudging. He went to the main road on the south end of Jerusalem, and once there, he saw a traveling entourage, like maybe a couple of chariots and stuff. Lo and behold, it belonged to the head of the treasury of the queen of the Ethiopians. Well, that's pretty cool. We see a lot of stuff coming through Swift Current, like, oh, what's that? Or, you know, once in a while you see some odd things. And the treasurer was in a chariot as it rolled along, reading a scroll that, would you guess it, was the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And Philip got a brain nudge from the Spirit. Now, it doesn't say that exactly in the Acts. It says kind of like the Spirit told him, but I called it a brain nudge. Telling him to go over and join the chariot. And once there, he asked the minister of finance, do you know what you're reading? And he responded, maybe even with a laugh, saying, of course not, and invited Philip to come into the chariot. And they did some reading and discussing of the info in that scroll. So Philip shared what he knew about God's love with the stranger. It was pretty safe. He had to interact with a really rich person, but not life and death. And he did have some help from angel and spirit, and overall pretty low key. So, you know, have you been in a similar spot where you feel like, oh, I should maybe go just talk to them, you know? Maybe we will be this week. You run into somebody, you're like, okay. Sometimes it starts as simply as asking questions like, what you reading? And do you understand that? And one thing can lead to another, and in one form or another, and with the Spirit's help, the other person may experience or learn more about the love of God, and that is just great. We want to try to do that. So we can share when it's safer, but we can also share when it's more dangerous, like Peter and John, when they were before the Jewish council. Like they, do you remember the story? Peter and John were preaching about Jesus and in Jerusalem, and about the Messiah, and this was making some of the Jewish leaders like really upset that they were able to finagle. They were even able to get him arrested. So I don't know how they did that, because the Romans were really in charge. But you know, like if you got connections, you can maybe get somebody arrested. So they did that, and then they had trouble though trying to get to decide how do we get them to stop talking about Jesus. So they decided just to try to order them to stop. So like the teacher says, you know, in school, you're not allowed. Yeah, well, that didn't work. It didn't work for the leaders either, because basically they said to, Peter and John said to them, like, you know, we got to listen to God first, not to you guys. But they were arrested, and you never know when you're arrested what's going to happen. So the question, are you and I prepared to be arrested for sharing about the salvation in Jesus Christ? So I'm not anticipating it here this week. But maybe we need to remember that this is happening to Christians as we speak in other parts of the world. So that's kind of strange. We think, oh, really? Well, because God loves me, I can share what I know when it is safer and when it is dangerous. So that's my second suggestion. And another question, which how can I, because God loves me, share what I know this week? That's really what it is. Like, how can we share? So we can be generous because God loves me, and we can share. And my third suggestion, and this connects with what Mel read, we can self-evaluate and try to do better. Because God loves me, I can self-evaluate and try to do better. Now, this is not trying to do better like to so that God will love me more. God loves me and God loves you. No, it's learning from the past and doing better in the future if possible. Sometimes we just can't, but we try. Like in the story of the talents in Matthew 25, you know, Jesus tells a story of the, I don't know, he was a boss of some kind and he gave his servants each some money. And one got like 5 talents and 3 talents and 2 talents and 1 talent and that kind of thing. And each tried to do better with it. They went and invested it or did something with it, bought and sold, except for one. He buried it. He says, well, man, I don't want to get in trouble. At least I'm going to have that. And the way Jesus tells it, you know, if I was that 1 talent guy, I would try to learn and do better next time. Maybe go try to invest it, you know, or do something with it, you know. Like, you just kind of, like, you just have to evaluate, see how you're doing, and, oh, no, that wasn't good. You know, like, maybe we talk to somebody with a certain tone, and like, well, yeah, maybe I should try a different tone. Like, that wasn't very effective or nice or whatever it is. You know, we just kind of self-evaluate. So the question might be, how can, you know, what's our standard? How do we evaluate? So Mel read this in Matthew 22, and the Pharisees had gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked them a question to test him, because they were like trying to, you know, they didn't like him, they were trying to get him in trouble. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? And Jesus said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And the second, well, everybody knew that was the right answer. But the second Jesus added is, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. And one of these two on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, that's the gold standard. Love God, love our neighbor. But, I mean, it's, Jesus goes on there, and then the lawyer says, yeah, well, who's my neighbor? And then Jesus says, that's not the right question. It's like, are you being neighborly? Because he tells the story of the Samaritan, and then the Samaritan, he was really good to the guy that was on the road that got beat up, and these other scribe and the priest went by, and they weren't good. And so the question was, who was being a neighbor? So when we're being a neighbor, it's not like exactly like, you know, are you loving your neighbor? No, it's like, who's my neighbor? So Jesus does a bit of that to try to teach people. So when we're evaluating who we are being and what we are doing with these commandments, we ask, am I loving God with all that I am and have? Yeah, well, that's what we got to ask. And then, are we loving my neighbor as myself? Like, am I really, some of those, you know, there was definitely a time where I all of a sudden realized that my neighbor can be my enemy. Like, there's all kinds of people living around me. And if my neighbor is anywhere in the world, could be my enemy. Jesus says, love your enemy. Well, he does say that actually specifically. But so there's that kind of stuff happening. But in general, am I loving God with all I am and have? And am I loving my neighbor as myself? So the question, what am I working on? Trying to live faithfully and get better at? Being more patient, more kind, willing to help others, trying to be more courageous. We adapt as we live, try to live faithfully, and so doing, we love God and our neighbor. So here's the conclusion. We have primed the pump a little bit, and I've made some suggestions for what living in God's love looks like. I got them from Bible stories, but there are many more stories, so many more. Like Fred mentioned the other week about washing. Jesus demonstrated how to be a servant, you know, washing, doing the job that nobody else wants, washing the feet of the people who come to the house. I remember that. Even though I wasn't here, I listened to it on the recording. That was nice. And so there's many more stories, but basically the three that I mentioned are, because God loves me, I can be generous. Because God loves me, I can share what I know. And because God loves me, I can self-evaluate and try to do better. So I encourage you to live in God's love this week and use Scripture as your guide. And why not share and discuss with your friends or neighbors how living in God's love changes your life or how you live? Maybe we will recognize the peace, joy, hope, and love we really have. Like I said in the beginning, overall, I believe God loves me and God loves you. And this affects our lives in tangible ways, and I wish us all well as we go into the week and enjoy, hopefully, living our lives in God's love. To the glory of God. Amen. Well, now we're going to sing another song. Guide my feet while I run this race. I invite you to stand, and we'll have ladies sing verse 2 and men verse 4, but everybody does the response, like we, while I run this race. Okay. For these words of blessing. In Christ, we are set free to love the Lord God with all we are and have, and to love our neighbor as ourselves. May we love and be blessed by God's love this week. Amen. Let's sing the last song. It's 849. We, your people, sing your praises. 849.
Creation in the sun. permission to podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.